we really have in this program. I would like to now go into a different route and invite you to talk about the things that really people love to hear from Dr. Zaghloul Al-Najjar. I have to say that I personally, with my family and many, many others in the Western world, are following your program that comes on Saudi Arabian television.
Yes.
And you're a specialist in earth scientists, in earth sciences. And you've really correlated many of the purely scientific discoveries with what the Quran had revealed. Actually, many of your papers talk about this. One of your papers actually asked the question, so how old is this earth?
Yes.
And since tonight, I'd like to say to the listeners that for those who would like to hear more from Dr. Zaghloul Al-Najjar, there is a lecture tonight, God willing, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the University of Western Ontario at Talbot College in room 141. They can come and listen to more. And for those who would like to engage in a question and answer at the end of the program, they can call the station at 661-3600. Now, Dr. Zaghloul, can you please tell us, since you will talk tonight about the creation of the universe,
yes.
How did it start? When did it start? How old is our Earth?
You see, we live on an Earth that is estimated to be more than 5 billion years old.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 million years old. And we live in a universe that is at least 10,000 million years old. And the age of the Earth is exactly the same age of the universe. But rocks of the Earth go into cycles. They start from magma and they get in a process of a change to go into magma once more. And that's why we usually get the oldest age of rocks available on the surface of our planet. It is in the range of 4.6 billion years. So Allah is showing His greatness, His supremacy above space and time by creating this universe, which he could do it in a glance between be and it will be, you see. But of course, to show us our limitations and the dominance or supremacy of Allah above space and time, He has created the universe in that immense span of time, 10 billion years at least, the estimated age of the universe. And the Earth, the oldest rocks we have are within the range of 4.6 billion years. The oldest record of life on Earth goes back to 3.8 billion years. The oldest record of man on Earth does not exceed 100,000 years. So we see a dimension that would put man in his right proportions, you see. Here I am, living on a planet that is 5,000 million years old, and in a universe that is at least 10 billion years old.
Is there a reference in the Quran that talks about the age of the universe?
Not directly, but we have a verse in the beginning of Surah Al-Insan, which reads, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Did time come on man when he was absolutely not mentioned, not even mentioned?
Absolutely.
And this verse shows how little the history of man on earth is compared to the history of the rest of the universe.
Okay, what's the Islamic understanding of what is mentioned in the Quran that a day in the realm of the divine is equivalent to 50,000 years of what we count in how would you really explain to the listeners?
Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing to a very important point, which is the relativistic stand of man on earth. So long we are on this planet, our vision is very relative. We cannot see anything in its absolute dimensions. And hence, again, the need for religion. To know the absolute, you have to have a religion. You have to have a divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we read twice in the Quran, in a day that is equal to 1,000 years of reckoned time, and a day equal to 50,000 years of your reckoned time. The 50,000 years refer to the soul, the ar-ruh, the spirit, and to the angels. And both ar-ruh and the angels are in the domain of the unseen. We cannot say anything about them. We have just to accept what the revelation tells us about them. But there is a verse in Surah As-Sajdah verse number 5 in Surah Sajda, that reads, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. And the phrasing of the verse indicates that this is a continuous process. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders things to be between heavens and earth in a day that's equal to 1,000 years of your own reckoning. So this, when you find two times that are not equal, being made equal, this means that it indicates difference in speed. Speed of what? That's what we have to think of. So we reckon a day equals 1,000 years. And these 1,000 years should have been lunar years, because the Arabs did not know except the lunar years.
Excellent.
The lunar year is 12 lunar months. And the lunar month is the orbit of the moon around the earth. This orbit has been measured by laser very precisely to the fraction of a millimeter, and it's in the range of 2.4 million kilometers. So if I multiply 2.4 million kilometers by 12 to make it 1 year, one lunar year, by 1,000 to make it 1,000 lunar years, and divide that by the number of seconds in a day, 24 hours by 60 minutes by 60 seconds, we got something slightly greater than the speed of light. Speed of light slightly less than 300,000 kilometers per second. We got something slightly higher than that. Then the idea came that the speed of light is measured in emptiness. But of course, light in the universe is not traveling in emptiness. So we have to delete the influence of attraction of the sun to the moon. And by deleting this, which by a simple mathematical calculation, we got the speed of light to the third decimal. And you cannot imagine a book revealed more than 14 centuries ago to an unlettered prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in an unlettered community, to speak about the speed of light with that precision long for at least 10, 12 centuries before it was known.
Actually, Dr. Zaghloul, I have to say that when